That was a really powerful time of worship that we had this morning. It's interesting, isn't it? Every week, every time we meet, there's a different flavour and a different sense in worship. I don't know if you're picking that up. It's not the same every week. And that's because God wants us to learn to journey with him, to hear his voice, and to understand what he's doing. Because when we understand what God's doing, we can partner with him. When we just come because we want something from God, that's all we're interested in, is hearing from God for us. But when we come thinking, God, what is it you need me to partner with you? We come with different ears. So I just encourage you, when you come, come with those ears that, God, what is it that you want me to be partnering with you in this moment, in this week, in these days? Does that make sense? Yeah, good. Okay, right. I'm going to launch into what we are doing this morning. So if you were here over the summer, we started looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus, and we just looked at one of them over 3 weeks, which was when Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And before we look into the next I Am saying that we're going to focus on today, I just wanted you to turn to the person next to you. If you're sitting on your own, maybe you need to move so you're sitting next to somebody. Or maybe you can turn around. And I want you to ask them a question. Who are you? Okay, so what was their response when you asked them, who are you? A shrug. Okay. Anybody else get anything verbal out of the person when they said, who are you? What did they say? Their name? 24601. Jean Valjean. Ah, Les Miserables. Brilliant. Sorry? Good act. Well, thank you. Thank you from a Frenchman. Compliment indeed. I won't do any more because I will show myself up. They told you their name. Yeah? Well, that's names are really important things, aren't they? They're really key identifiers often of who we are. Some people have some very unfortunate names. Very unfortunate. I'm not going to do any rude ones. There's many of those out there. I'm not going to do any rude ones. Very unfortunate. There was a Dr. Ho. I used to work in a hospital. There was a Dr. Ho. His first name. Any guesses? No, not Ho. No? Ivan. His name was Ivan Ho. Another one I came across, didn't know this one. His name was Chris Bacon. Any idea of the first initial of his middle name? P. His name was Chris P. Bacon. Hugh, a good surname for somebody called Hugh. This person exists. Hugh Mungus. Hugh Mungus. Who would call their child Hugh Mungus? Donald? Yes, there is a Donald Duck, yes, out there. And this one, I thought, seriously? First name is Cash, obviously American. What do you think the second name was? Register. Cash Register. We spent a lot of time thinking over our children's names before they were born. When I was born, my mum got from one of her friends a knife, fork and spoon set for me with my initials engraved on the back. But she didn't put two and two together. So she said to my dad, why has it got jam written on the back of the knife, fork and spoon? Because my initials were jam, Jane and Manson. And she hadn't realised it until she saw it in front of her. So I went from a jam to a jar when I got married. Anyway. So names are important. So we're going to have a little look at the first time the I Am, when Jesus, we've been looking at the I Am, we're going to be looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. The first time that I Am was spoken in the Bible, and I'm sure you all know that it was in Exodus. Just to set the scene a little bit, Moses was out in the wilderness, and there was a bush on fire that wasn't necessarily uncommon in that environment, but it didn't burn out. It didn't burn out. It was actually the presence of God, and it drew him. And he then had a conversation with God. And this is part of the reading we're going to look at first. So can I have my first slide? Thanks, Chloe. So Exodus 3, 13 to 14 says this. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites. Remember there was this debate. Moses was like, I'm not the right man. You really have chosen the wrong person. Actually, there's something I was up really early this morning and I just had a really strong sense that there's somebody here this morning and God wants to say to you, if I'm asking you to do it, this is nothing to do with this kind of, but it is. If I'm asking you to do something, God's just saying, just do it. Will you just do it? I don't know if that, I know that's a word for somebody, I don't know who it is, but if God is asking you to do something, will you just do it, God's saying? Will you just do it? Will you just trust me and will you just do it? Anyway, back to this. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So what did God mean and why is it in capitals? So a little bit of grammar this morning. This is an education, isn't it? I am, you are, he, she, it is, we are, you are, they are. What verb is that conjugated?
To be.
To be. Thank you. To be. It is the verb to be. And that verb is very much used to define or establish identity. So I am a woman, I am a mother, I am a wife, I was a wife before I was a mother. I should just go get that one. I am a grandmother, I'm a daughter, I'm a child of God. It says a lot about my identity, about who I am. Can I have the second slide, please, Chloe? Thank you. So I am is the ultimate statement of identity, self-sufficiency, self-existence, and immediate presence. That is a really good definition or understanding of what that I am statement is. It's been capitalized because there's this underlining, there's this emphasis. God's saying, I am. I've always been, I always will be. He's eternally constant. He's unchanging. He's ever present. He is God. It's similar to the verse in the New Testament. We read in Revelation 1, verse 8. When it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord Almighty, who is and was and who is to come. So that's the weight behind that I am saying. So if we now look at Jesus starting to use that phrase, I am, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish believers would have understood the weight of what Jesus was saying, and we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. He's identifying himself as God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a man doing good things. He is saying, I am. So let's have a look at the passage that we're going to unpick a little bit more today. And it's John 10, verse 7 to 10, if you're going to look it up in your Bibles. And it's part of a whole narrative of Jesus starting to unpick and explain who he was. And he uses these different pictures to help us understand the different facets of who he is. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, when repeated, again it's that underlining, like this is absolutely true. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So we're going to look at this morning Jesus saying, I am the door. Bit of a funny way to describe himself. But we must remember that he was using the illustration of being a shepherd. It's all part of that passage that we read. He's using the illustration of himself being a shepherd next time. Andy Hare is going to be talking about I am the good shepherd. So these two are quite closely linked together. And he would have probably been out in a field somewhere, because at that point Jesus' ministry was very much out in the countryside. And there would have been probably some really helpful visual aids there. So could I have the next slide up, please, Chloe? And that is a sheep pen, as would have been in the Middle East. So you'll notice that there is no actual door on the sheep pen. And it was the shepherd who was the door. So the shepherd, once the sheep had gone in to stay there overnight, the shepherd would sleep in the doorway. So none of the sheep could get out without him knowing, because the wall would be high enough so they couldn't jump over it. But equally, there could be nobody that came in to steal the sheep. So he was the entrance and the exit point to the sheep pen. So a couple of things that Jesus is trying to explain with saying, I am the door. If we could have the next slide, please. He's the doorway or the gateway. Some translations use the word gateway. Into a relationship with God the Father. He's saying, I'm the door and you can only come to the Father through me. There is no second route. There is no alternative route. There is one route and that is through Jesus. And unfortunately, in today's world, there is a lot of confusion that's saying that there are many roads and many routes. Well, the Bible that I read says there's one route and it's Jesus. He is the only way. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because in the natural, a door is a transition point between one space and another. So I could open the door and I could go outside. It'd probably be very hot and I'd come back in again. But I need to make a decision to go through that door. And Jesus is saying, you've got to make a decision. I'm the doorway. You've got to decide who I am to you. There's a decision that needs to be made. And the other thing that Jesus is emphasising, can I have the next picture please, Chloe? Is that Jesus is the shepherd and he's the one who will remain and who will protect the flock. See, in the Middle East, sheep weren't herded from behind as much as we see, you know, with the sheepdog. The shepherd led from the front and he called the sheep. There's some brilliant clips on YouTube of shepherds just using their voice to call their sheep. And that's the picture that Jesus is using here, that he is the gateway, he's the doorway to the Father, and he's the one whose voice we need to follow. So the scribes and the Pharisees, when they heard this, would have been absolutely furious. Because he was claiming firstly to be God, and also it didn't give them a lot of good press, actually, when you think of some of the things that he was saying about them. They'd been caught up in religious practices, trying to tick the boxes to get to God, but missing the relationship. Missing the relationship that God wants to have with us. Jesus said, I am the door. He's emphasizing that he's God, his divinity. But he's also saying, come through me. Come through me. There's another translation of that key verse. Could you just put that up for me, Chloe? And it says this, I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. That is an incredible gift that we have been given. Who here wouldn't want to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction? That's the heartbeat probably of every living being. But it's only through Jesus. It's an incredible promise, but it has a very clear condition. If we want to know that life, freedom, and satisfaction, we can only do so through making Jesus our Lord and Saviour and following his voice. It's not by good works. It's not by our own philosophy, making it up as we go along. It's not through any other religion. It's through Jesus. And if we truly believe that, it's going to change the way we do life, because we know that we want to have an impact on other people's lives so that they come to know Jesus, so that they can go through that doorway into a relationship. We've spoken a lot this morning, sung a lot this morning about being lighthouses, about being light in the darkness. We need to understand really the privileged position that we're in. And it says in the word, doesn't it, that those to whom much is given, much is expected. It's not just we've got our ticket to heaven and we're okay. We've got to have a heart for the world outside. We need to be praying for those that we know for whom Jesus isn't their Lord and Saviour. We had a really interesting conversation in our Connect group last Sunday, and we were talking and we were praying for those in our families who don't know Jesus. And I was reminded of something that I had read a while ago, and it was somebody saying about do you need a saviour? You know, do you need a saviour? Do you need to be saved? And this person says, well, I don't need a saviour, because what do I need to be saved from? They had no idea, no concept of that sense that they were needing to be saved. So, you know, we can think, oh, it's so obvious to us. But for some people, a lot of people in the world out there, they're just questioning and hungry. And we are in such a privileged position to be able to reach out and to give them the good news that Jesus has died for them and has come to save them. The Bible says that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That is God's heart. We have free will, so we get to choose. But that is his heart. That is his heart. Amazing, amazing gift. Can I have the next slide, please, Chloe? Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. But there are many, many voices in the world clamoring for our attention. The voice of self-promotion and popularity. The voice of position, success, security. The voice of pleasure. The voice of me, myself, and I. But Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. I just want us to think for a moment, what voices are vying for our attention? What voices are vying for our attention?
The enemy. Oh, sorry. What was your
Thank you, Yannick. Yeah. And that can come in many different guises. And I'm just going to pray for us, and then we're going to go into a time of communion. That we become a people that are discerning, so that we know what is the voice of the enemy and what is the voice of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that your teaching is so profound. It changes our lives. I want to thank you, Jesus, that you are the door, you are the gateway for us to enter into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Jesus, you laid down your life for us. And I want to pray for each one of us that we would learn to hear your voice above all the other voices. We would learn to discern, Jesus, your clear voice over voices of confusion, voices of deception, voices that speak lies. And I just pray this over us this morning, that we as your sheep would hear your voice and that we would follow you. That we would follow you. When we hear your voice, that we would follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.